It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. We'll record episodes 1 and 3 today, and 2 and 4 next week. So just fuck with things.
Okay.
In fact, if I had... Okay, now we're recording, so don't say fuck anymore.
Fuck.
What did I just say?
You said don't say fuck anymore.
Yes, and what did you do?
She just said the one word, not the two words.
Oh, okay.
So she followed your...
Sorry.
...your directive perfectly.
I didn't mean the phrase fuck anymore. I meant don't say specifically the word fuck. Also, for emphasis, I was saying, do not say it any longer. Thank you. I appreciate that. I also have no idea if any of that was heard. My half was.
You always say that, and they always...
I know, and I always say, William's too far from the microphone.
But basically, what we're saying is you've been doing this for 5 years, and you don't know...
Sometimes I am too far from the
microphone. I've been doing this for over 8 years.
Yeah. Well, you still don't know anything.
That is true. I'm just saying that's a more impressive fact than you're giving it.
Okay.
My ignorance is far broader than you're letting on.
Oh, trust me. I just was trying to be nice.
It's not true. She was never trying to be nice. I love you too. Have fun watching your favorite show.
Okay.
She hates that show.
Oh, why is she still watching it?
She and her sister are watching it together. I think they're mostly hate watching it. And they're on season 2 now, which supposedly is better than season 1.
We're talking about Legends, right?
Yeah. season 2's big claim to fame is that it's better than season 1.
I don't remember.
Nobody claims it's good. They just claim it's better than season 1. Season 3, they start claiming it's good. So.
Oh.
Anyway, no. If I had my druthers, and in fact, because I'm really stupid, for a minute I considered this, I was like, we should do episode 4, episode 3. This week and next week, 2 and 1. But then I remembered episode 1 has to air tonight.
Tonight, right.
So 1 and then 3. And then next week we'll do 2 and air it. And 4. And then we'll air 4. And then 3 and air 4.
Okay.
Just because it's fun, I guess. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. That's right, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only podcast in the world that requires me to wear pants. Seriously, any other podcast, I can just listen to it, don't have to wear pants. I legit almost said I am William. I am Tony.
And I am William, and this is episode 429.
And you should be careful with that.
Because it's going to be 431
yes,
later.
Yes.
And then 430 next week.
And then 432.
432.
Yes. And I have to explain the show this time and next one. But then next week I don't have to explain the show at all.
Yeah, you can skip it all the way. That'd be awesome.
I hurt my own brain.
This is a good plan.
I don't agree, but we're doing it.
It's a good plan.
Why do you think it's a good plan?
I like, because you don't have to, like, next time we get together, you don't have to explain the show at all.
Yes. That's actually not why I like this plan.
Oh.
I mean, I do like that fact. No. Honestly, I think part of it is I just like to do things different. But, I like the immediacy of... I like the immediacy of an episode. I like an episode that we're recording for the night we are putting it out.
Sure.
And this way, we're doing that both weeks.
Oh, sure. That's another good point.
If we were doing one and two tonight, then next week we'd be doing three, but we'd be airing two.
Right. So this way we get at least two that are, like you said, are posted right away.
Yes.
I think that's another good reason.
And just to confuse things, follow along at home and figure out the secret word. Tonight's letter is R.
Scream real loud.
Yeah. you said the secret word. How long has it been since we recorded? 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
I don't know.
I feel like two, but it feels like a three.
Yeah, it's been like that. Whenever we skip even just 1 week, it feels like longer.
It drains our life essence. We have tied ourselves to this podcast.
Right.
Like, metaphysically. I'm going to sound gross for a while tonight, because just before this, I had pizza. And specifically, I had Pizza Hut's new pan pizza.
New?
Genuinely, 2 or 3 days ago, they rolled out a change in their pizza, in the pan pizza crust.
Oh, no.
Here's the funny thing, though. I see a story about this yesterday, or not yesterday, on Tuesday, and I'm like, I gotta check this out. But for reasons, I won't go into it. I couldn't do it Tuesday, couldn't do it Wednesday, so I'm like, I'm gonna do it Thursday. I go to order the thing today, because the way it is, I ordered it for carryout, and then on the way home, we just grabbed it, because it's on our way. Nothing on the website talks about this. And in fact, it even still says original pan crust, and I'm like, is this? Did that news story, like, lie or whatever? But a quick search, no. The internet is full of this. It really did happen. It happened earlier. They've been working on it for 3 years. It's the first time they've ever changed it in 40 years. It's fine. It is slightly less good than the old version.
I used to love their pan pizza crust. Right? It was almost like you're done eating the pizza, and now there's this really cool version of breadsticks that you can eat as the crust.
Yes. And back in the day, they only had that and the hand toss, and the hand toss sucks. Now they have the thin and crispy, which is actually the one I'll get more often, because pan pizza is nutritionally the equivalent of eating like three pizzas stacked up on each other.
Yeah, kind of.
So I don't do it very often. But yeah, no, it was really good, so this is still good.
Mm-hmm.
But it is slightly less good, in my opinion.
Hmm.
So that's sad.
I haven't had pizza in...
We don't get it a 20, lot.
20 years, maybe.
It's the Carlos O'Kelly's of pizza, and I admit that. Like, it's not... It's a different animal. Like, if you want Mexican food, you should not go to Carlos O'Kelly's. But if you want Carlos O'Kelly's, a Mexican restaurant will not hit that same spot. And it's the same thing with that. If you're like, I want some good pizza, Pizza Hut is not your answer. But if you're like, I want Pizza Hut, other pizza will not cover that craving. It's like, I also have that if you want McDonald's. Like, very few things. McDonald's is not good, but if it's what you're craving, there are not adequate substitutes to McDonald's.
Hmm.
Now, that, I think, may have more to do with addictive chemicals. But, you know, whatever. So, how was your 2 to 3 weeks?
I thought this was an episode where you had to explain how the show worked.
Oh, shit, it is. All right. So, we have a hat. It's magical. In that, it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. I saw a dog go by. Folks like yourselves, you four, write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like hat, things like that. I swear I am sober. I don't know what's going on. I'm broken. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails and a little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's EpiPen servants.
The only podcast in the world that if you listen to it, it'll take care of your...
Yes, we cure anaphylactic shock. We as EpiPen servants draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show except the parts that aren't, which is most of it.
And none of it constitutes medical advice.
Use only as directed.
Or legal advice.
Void where prohibited. I know why I'm like this. My mom smoked heavily while she was pregnant with me. No, I've been very sick. I was very sick last Thursday. That's why we had the mystery episode. I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
Continued to be sick Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Trish left. We were going to the family for Memorial Day weekend. Trish had to go without me. So I was that sick. So I spent 5 days doing nothing but sleeping, playing Final Fantasy XII, and watching so much television. So much television. And so that's been weird. And, you know, Memorial Day happened, so it didn't go to anywhere there. And then Tuesday went back to work, which was fine, but it wore me out. And yet, somehow, Tuesday night, couldn't sleep. Could not. I think maybe if I'm lucky, I got 4 hours.
Wow.
But I don't think I even managed that. Like, I was up multiple times for, like, hours at a time. Just couldn't sleep. None of this time I'm going to the gym. Last night, slept like a log.
Good.
Woke up, went to the gym. Great. Also, my blood sugar has been out of control. But today was actually good. Wonderful. Great. Now it's hitting me. Like, one good night's sleep does not magically overcome all of that immediately. So I'm just...
And we have to record two.
Yes, we're recording two episodes, and next we're recording another two episodes. Because... I need a Thursday off because I'll be in Minnesota, and you need a Thursday off because wife things.
Mm-hmm.
She's... given birth or something. I don't remember.
It's her birthday.
Oh, okay. I knew it had to do with birth.
Technically, it's on Friday, but...
Need a run-up to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Producer's birthday is tomorrow.
A&W's birthday, 100th birthday, is that Thursday.
It barely looks over 70.
I've been ordering 100th anniversary memorabilia and stuff because when I was a kid, there were two things that I looked forward to when I got older. The year 2000 and the 100th anniversary of A&W Root Beer. It didn't really occur to me that one would come so long after the other. Like, you know what I'm saying? Almost 20 years. But here it is. And so I bought like 100th anniversary mugs, 100th anniversary t-shirts. It's been pretty awesome.
As a kid, the only two things I looked forward to... Yeah, once again, I got to say, really on brand.
Well, I mean...
Really, really...
I look forward to a lot of general things. I'm talking about actual dated, pinpointed dated things. Like, I looked forward to getting my... I went to college to get a, you know, PhD. I thought I'd be a professor. And I looked forward to the day I got hired, to the day I got my PhD. I looked forward to those days, but I didn't know when those days would be. But I knew when it would be the year 2000, and I knew when it would be the 100th birthday of A&W. So I looked forward to those dates. I can't think of any other date that I could pinpoint and look forward to.
The day you were old enough to learn to drive.
Oh, no.
The day you graduated high school.
I didn't care about driving. My parents.
The day you were old enough to drink, I guess, yeah, for you.
My parents had to beg me to drive. I didn't want to do it.
I didn't get my license until I was 20.
Well, I got my license soon enough.
No, I didn't get mine until I was 20.
But, you know, they often said, why don't you... I mean, they wanted me to, like, go out.
We all wanted that. Not
just run errands. They wanted that too, but they just wanted me to go places, and I didn't care. I didn't want to.
They're like, we're worried. You're like an opposite Pinocchio, where you came out a real boy, and now you're just. Speaking of, just the other day, I looked up the plot synopsis of the book Pinocchio.
Okay.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I read the original story like a year or so ago.
It very much is like if Frank L. Baum wrote something, or L. Frank Baum, whatever. Mm. Frank Baum wrote a Dorothy book, but much longer and involving a lot more murder and kidnapping and dismemberment.
It's a weird story for sure. For sure.
Fucked up. And like.
But I liked it. I remember.
Morally. All over the place. Like, ultimately, in the beginning, Pinocchio's an ass. Later, literally. And ultimately, at the end, he does a very good thing. But in between, he's all over the map. He's good, he's bad, he's good in this way, but terrible in this way. And then he forgets to be good, and now he's terrible again. And then he forgets to be terrible, and he's accidentally good. And and yet, he kills Jiminy Cricket, like, right. Also, a lot of people die, and then, like, later their ghosts just come back. But not, like, as ghosts, just they're there now, mm-hmm. and they do things like a person.
Sure.
But they're a ghost of the other person.
That part doesn't seem as weird when you're reading it, but that is weird. I should read it again, because I kind of
like
it.
I feel like, no, I feel like it is a... it is a manifesto that really should have... Like I'm surprised this wasn't immediately followed by this man doing some sort of mass murder
no,
situation.
It's not really like that.
Just go to Wikipedia, look it up, people. It's insane.
So you
also, that boy is stupid.
You agree with the Disneyfication of that story? That it
no,
was a lot
the,
better.
The Disney version is also insane, but in very different ways. Like, most of the things insane about the book are not the things insane about the movie. Mm. You've seen what essentially becomes my opinion on the movie in that OPCD about it. Get out of here, you pedophile. You don't live here anymore. Remember? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. The Disney version is also terrible. I'm not a big fan of most Disney movies these days. But, yeah, no. It's insane. So, how's your 2 to 3 weeks been?
Good. Game of Thrones ended. That was interesting. I think I don't think we were as disappointed in its last season as compared to
as the people who signed the petition.
Yeah, I mean we weren't impressed with it, but most of what happened was you could kind of see it was going to happen. Although, okay, just a pro tip for writing for TV shows, even though I've never professionally written for a TV show.
So an am tip.
Yeah, when you finish a season, and pretty much for all your characters and even for the overall arc of the show, there's still maybe 3 to 5 ways things can go. You can't basically just pick one and then start the season with that. You still have to go through maybe a whole season to narrow it back down to one, preferably, so people say, yeah, this is what's going to happen. And so... You've got the debates kind of around is a little bit foolish, because you've got people saying this is completely out of character for some of these characters, or completely makes no sense for this plot. And then other people point out little clues in all the rest of the episodes.
But little clues.
Yeah. Or, exactly. Or there were other clues too that pointed to something else.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The problem isn't that nothing was foreshadowed at all. It's the fact that lots of different things potentially could have happened. And they needed a whole other season probably to develop it to get to where this season was. And even then, most people wouldn't have been satisfied with it, I don't think.
But especially by the time you've reached the last season of a show that's the most popular thing ever in the history of anything, you're really not concerned with quality.
Well,
at that point, you're like, we have the base. We just, like, they're going to watch it.
Yeah.
Nobody's like, I saw the first 2 episodes of the last season after watching this whole time, and it was so out of character that I stopped watching the rest of the 8-episode season.
But as far as craft goes, it was just rushed.
Yeah.
I mean, if they hadn't rushed it and told the story more gradually, a lot of people still would have been dissatisfied with it. But I doubt they would have been as...
Well, and they had to fit in extra rape scenes in the series than are in the book, so that took up a lot of the crucial time.
Well... I heard someone compare it to Lost, but that's not a very good comparison. Lost ended so badly that for most people, I mean, for people who liked the ending, fine, I'm not counting them, but for the group of people that did not like how Lost ended, for most of that group, rewatching previous episodes is ruined.
Yeah. Well, because it that one just wasn't ceased to be a cohesive narrative.
Yeah.
Like, Lost has not little clues. And this is as somebody who didn't watch Lost, but looked it up later. And again, if you just read it in an afternoon on some wikis, it's not a bad story. But I know enough about it. Like, there are so many side stories and plot details that were very important that just died. And I don't mean, like, they resolved uninterestingly. I mean, we just never came back to it. To the degree that tons of them contradict things that happened later.
Sure.
Like, that show was very clearly not concerned with continuity at a certain point.
Yeah. Well, but Game of Thrones is different. I mean, it didn't end in a way where going back and watching again is ruined for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like that at all. So yeah, that was a thing.
I'm just excited that it's done.
Yeah, we've been watching...
Because now I will hear less about it. I'll still hear plenty about it.
We've been watching Gentleman Jack, and we've been watching... I think Barry's season ended since we talked last. Mm. Maybe it ended just before that. Watched Barry. We've been watching some HBO documentaries, too. We saw the Leaving Neverland thing. Do not watch that.
No, I was never going to. Like, aside from the disturbing aspects, I genuinely have no interest. And it kind of surprises... I get why some people would. I'm surprised at how many people do. I'm like, why? What do you possibly get out of any knowledge you get from that, whether it's accurate or not? I'm like, what?
Well, I mean, I guess the reason we finally watched...
I'm not trying to paint a more clear picture of Michael Jackson in my brain.
We finally watched it because there's obviously some controversy surrounding it.
Yeah.
And we watch true crime stuff all the time.
And that would explain it to like a certain subset.
Yeah.
That would explain it.
And in fact, there was a true crime documentary on there that we watched before this. Leaving Neverland isn't like those, though. And had I known that, I wouldn't have been interested in watching it at all. But I thought it might be kind of a true crimey type of thing, and it really wasn't.
Yeah.
And what it was something that I would not have been interested in watching, because I'm just not interested in that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also didn't really have, and another thing, I didn't really have an opinion about Jackson in that regard. In regard to those, I mean, he'd been found not guilty in an actual criminal trial, and there were other things that it was like, well, maybe he didn't do anything, or maybe he did. I didn't really know, so I didn't have an opinion about it. You can't help but have an opinion after watching this.
Yeah, well, and I mean, and I choose. I don't want to say that I don't have an opinion. I don't think about my opinion very much. Because it doesn't matter. A, I have nothing to do with any people who have ever had anything to do with Michael Jackson. Nor am I involved in any way in law enforcement. And B, at best, if I was really looking into this shit, I would have an incomplete, weird perspective on it.
Yeah.
That would not put me in a position to be able to judge. And I haven't even done that much. So I'm like, I'm not in a position to know. However I felt wouldn't matter at all anywhere. So have I formed opinions based on the various rumors and hearsay and things that I have heard over the years? Yes. Do I credit it with being anywhere remotely near the truth? And do I think it matters at all what my opinion is? No.
Yeah.
And it's kind of that way. I didn't. During the OJ trial, I did not have this particular philosophy, but I have it now. Mm. I definitely have an opinion about OJ. It doesn't matter. And, like, it's also, I never watched Serial and don't intend to, or Making a Murderer, or any of that stuff.
Yeah,
sorry, listened to Serial, watched Making a Murderer.
We watched the HBO documentary that follows Serial.
Mm.
And Making a Murderer, we watched, I think there's two seasons of that. We watched that.
Yeah.
We just watched that kind of stuff. And you know, because I used to talk about how we watched all the Forensic Files on Netflix.
Yep.
Did we just watch that kind of stuff? And my mom used to like that stuff, so that's part of why I like it. We're also playing, my wife was bored and there's not any new video games coming out that she wants to play, but she could get for free, I guess, The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing.
I saw that she was playing that. I don't even know that was a game, but I saw that
there's three of them.
It was on there.
I don't know if she can get the other
based
two
off
free.
The shitty movie, based off the shitty TV show, or just based off of general mythos.
No, it's its own thing. It the promotional material says, oh, it's based on the original novel. Well,
no.
Okay, first of all, in the original novel, Van Helsing was a pretty old man. He didn't have any.
Yep.
He didn't have any kids. And the way I read the novel, it takes place in like 1897, like the late 1800s. This whole game is supposed to take place somewhere, not in the late 1800s, but you play Abraham Van Helsing's son.
Yeah, no, it's not based on the novel, though.
No. But then you run into an NPC and they say something like, well, gosh, how old is your dad now? He must be like 91 years old, which suggests that the character you're playing, which let's say is 30, well, that means that Van Helsing was like 60 when your character was born. So is that how they're trying to make it seem like it still works? But it doesn't. Nothing works for this to be any kind of sequel to the original. But it is its own thing. It kind of plays like Diablo.
Game. Okay.
And Diablo 3 in particular.
Oh, all right.
But it's not as good. Mm. I mean, it looks fine. It looks fine. But it story-wise and... I don't know. When we played Diablo 3, it was pretty fun. And we thought the story was interesting and all that stuff. This isn't quite like that. But it's a good diversion until, you know, something else comes along. And since a lot of shows have ended. And, you know, evenings where we aren't going to do anything else... but there aren't any shows to watch or any movies that we want to watch. She can play the game and I can watch it. It's kind of fun. But that's really all that's been going on.
I got Trish watching Good Place.
Oh, yeah.
Although we started right before she left for a week and we haven't got back to it yet because, again, I was sick for a long time. But I made her watch 3 episodes specifically because I'm like, that's that point.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, right.
And we're still trudging through Sabrina, although we haven't watched for a while. I watched, just... everything. And I want to tell a little side story that I suspect no one, even you, will find interesting, but I just find this interesting, so I don't know why. I'm going to talk about it. So, I watched 2 movies, which is another side thing. I watched one action movie, and I, because Netflix reminded me, I went back to Bandersnatch,
the
Black Mirror Choose Your Own Adventure thing, and I think I've now exhausted it as much as I want to. I may eventually check the YouTube that has, like, all of it.
Oh, okay.
But I've, to my satisfaction, done. And I had a few endings that had end credits, but there's a particular one that has end credits interspersed with a complex filmed epilogue that I'm like, this feels like it's the ending. But I was much less enthralled this time through. Mm. And originally I thought it was just because the novelty was exciting to me at first. And now it's been a while, and so I know what to expect. I don't think that's it, though. I think in my head, and this is my expectation, which I think is incorrect. So this is not necessarily a fault of the movie.
Okay.
But in my head, there is one narrative, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And the different endings, depending on where it go, you'll learn different parts about it. Not true at all. Different endings, like the reasoning behind things and who's doing what and who plays what role, changes completely in different ones. And so to me, I'm like, oh, so it's just each one's like a totally different unrelated story. And I'm like, because I was way more like, oh, what was that? What was the locked room about? Well, it may not come up at all, or there's like 3 different things it might be that are completely different from each other. It's like, oh, what about... Does that guy ever come back? In some versions, no, and it's a major plot point that he never comes back. In some versions, yeah, he's just there, and it's not even talked about. Like, yeah, it's all over the place, and I didn't enjoy that so much. But it still was a fun exercise. I think it is a worthwhile thing to check out. I won't bother with the rest of them, I think.
So you'd be more interested if there was one timeline of what's going on, and you are just picking different experiences in that same timeline.
Basically, yes. Yeah. Yes.
So you're going to see things from a different perspective.
Yeah. And in my head, Choose Your Own Adventure books tended to be like that. Mm-hmm. Like, the villain's plan was the villain's plan. And depending on the version, you uncovered it, or you but it didn't turn out, oh, no, in this version, he's not even the villain. It's this person.
Yeah, right.
That's
right.
At least how I remember them.
That's how I remember them, too.
But in this one, like, everyone was a different story, sort of. I mean, some of them were related, but, yeah. So I was a little disappointed in that.
I think I agree. I think I'd sooner that it be something like that than the whole story changes completely.
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole different world if you go this direction versus that direction. I'd much rather it be one thing and you're just following a different path in the same story.
Also, the algorithm was pretty good at bringing me back to points, decision points that would matter. So, like, when I finished it, it took me back to points. I'm like, wow, that's several decisions ago. But I'm pretty sure that's because the decisions in between wouldn't really have changed the ending. Mm. But then a couple times it really didn't, and I had to sit through the whole damn thing again. I was like, come on, I just did this. So, yeah, but I'm done with that. But I watched an older movie, The Church, a famous, quote-unquote, 80s horror movie by Dario Argento. Weird-ass movie, as many of them are. Not super important. In olden times, there were evil people, and Teutonic Knights massacred them all because they were working for the devil or whatever. At least that was the theory. And then to bury the evil so it would never come up, they built a freaking cathedral on it. And then in the present day, 1980s Italy, people go fucking around in the basement of this place and let all the evil out, and everybody dies. Pretty standard horror movie shit. But there was an interesting thing in here. Father Gus. Not interesting because his name was Father Gus. A little interesting because his name was Father Gus. Two things about Father Gus. One was only black man I've ever seen in an 80s Italian horror movie.
That's interesting.
And the other one is he had his own story that appeared to have nothing to do with anything going on. And like, and he leaves and he goes and does archery and shit for like no reason. And all. End of the thing, he ends up being the only one who stays alive and sane enough to figure out what happened and sacrifice himself to save everybody else. So it eventually ties around, but it takes a while. But the reason this is particularly interesting to me besides that is I'm like, he's very handsome. He's also very familiar looking.
Okay.
But these kind of movies don't have black actors that aren't fucked up blaxploitation stereotypes. Like, I've seen a lot of these, and they wouldn't cast... This was a part that him being black didn't matter, and in those days, you didn't cast a black person in that. So I'm like, I highly doubt I've seen him before in movies like this, but he looks really familiar. So I fire up IMDb and look him up. I don't remember the actor's name, I'm sorry to say, but he plays the captain of the guard to... the Queen of Naboo, Amidala, in the Star Wars prequels.
Oh.
And he's like the second black guy in the whole Star Wars universe.
In the first movie.
Though. In the first movie, but I think he shows up late. I think he's part of the people that eventually become the rebellion. I think he's in the other ones in smaller parts. But yes, him. And I find out, besides being in the Star Wars movies, he has had a long and storied career both before Star Wars and after Star Wars. He's been around for a long time.
Yeah, Star Wars wasn't the first thing I'd seen him in, but I can't remember what else.
It was the first thing I remember seeing him in, but yeah, so that was interesting to find out. Anyway, watched a lot of TV, a lot of British TV, a lot of stuff. I'm watching fourth season Lucifer.
Oh.
It's notably better.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't go so far as to say good, and a lot of things that were wrong with it are still wrong with it. And it's kind of cheated in that it's doing that thing where every episode has a major twist that, like, changes everything, so you want to watch the next one. And it gets a little silly in how much things change, like, constantly.
Sure.
But I do feel in a way that this is kind of my reward for the three seasons I had to put up with. They have finally figured out that the murder mystery in each episode is the least important part of the episode, and that helps a lot. I'm watching that. But none of this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the day before I got sick, the night before I got sick, Trisha's date night, and she took us to see John Wick 3, Parabellum.
And you've seen the other two.
Yes. And our fans, in fact. We are fans of these.
Right.
And you've seen none of them.
No.
All right. Yeah, we've seen them all in the theater, I think. Trisha's a big fan. I'm a decent-sized fan. You may recall, though...
Convenient size.
I did not like the second one as much as the first one.
I do recall that.
Do you recall the primary reason for that?
I do not.
First movie... There may be some minor John Wick spoilers in here. You don't watch John Wick for the intricate story, so shut up. First John Wick... is about the world's greatest hitman who successfully managed to get out of the hitman game because he fell in love, and that was nice. And then his wife died, and now he's a sad ex-hitman. And then stupid mobsters steal his car and kill his puppy. And so he proceeds to murder everyone. And I was good with this. Because he killed his puppy. I'm like, fuck them. Kill them. It's great. It also was really good from a film craft perspective. They did the action very well. It was very violent, but it was much better done than most, especially most current action movies.
Sure.
It's not, there were long shots, exciting but not ridiculous combat and stuff like that. Very, very quick but all clear. It was good stuff. And the second one, he weirdly finishes up what he did in the first one, because he wasn't quite done, I guess, but did that in the beginning. And then he's done. He's going to go rest again. And then a random dude shows up and hands him a marker, which is a thing of which John Wick owes this man a hitman-related favor for something that was done in the past. It's this little device, and you put your thumbprint in blood on it. It has a little thing to poke your thumb, and you do it. And it's a marker until such time as you fulfill it, and then the other person puts their thumbprint in blood on the other side. And he's like, you gotta do this. And John Wick's like, no, I'm out. I don't do that kind of stuff anymore. And then...
So he bought John Wick a puppy and then killed it in front of him?
No, but he tries to pressure John Wick into doing this. Oh. And then in the ensuing thing, John Wick ends up breaking one of the cardinal rules of the assassin society that exists in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie ends with him going to be hunted down because he broke the rules.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on his side in any of I appreciate the not wanting to kill people, but I'm like, you are a hitman. The ethics of murder are sort of out. And you said, like, these are part of the rules that you agreed to, that you lived most of your life with, and now you're just killing everyone because you don't want to pay up. Like, I'm not on your side at all. And so I watched the third one. They're making a fourth one, because these movies are doing really well.
I heard that, yeah.
I'm going to see the fourth one. They're fun movies. They should stop making them.
You didn't like the third one?
It was worse than the second one.
Oh, I see.
And a lot of it, again, was so not on his side. Like, but also, part of the reason people like the first one is this society of assassins that's going on, and there's this special hotel for assassins, and there's these rules, and there's these cool things you do, and stuff like that, and people were very intrigued, and it was very intriguing. And so the second one elaborated that on a lot, and it was a lot stupider when you explained it all. And then the third one really goes into detail, and it's incredibly stupid and inconsistent and confusing and so arbitrary in dumb ways. There's a lot of life is very, very cheap, except in these very specific circumstances, and then life is a very big, like people break rules about, like, helping someone who's supposed to be outside the thing and you're not supposed to offer help to, and so they get punished with, like, a very painful and potentially disfiguring wound, and that's their punishment. However, to get to them to do that, the people doling out the punishment killed, like, 8 of their people, some of whom, because of the nature of this, may be related to them, may be their children.
Sure.
But that wasn't the punishment. And that's fine, because all of this is about they killed somebody they shouldn't, or in a way that they shouldn't. And in the process of doling out this justice, which sometimes is a death sentence, sometimes is just a disfiguring wound, sometimes is just saying you don't have your job anymore, all for the same exact crime, you can murder whoever you want on the way to getting to them. I'm like, none of this makes sense. and there's all Halle Berry's in this one.
Yeah, I heard that.
She's in a very discreet section. Like, there's a part of the movie without Halle Berry, and then Halle Berry's in the movie, and then at a certain point Halle Berry's out of the movie, and the movie keeps going, and she's not in it. And that entire section could completely be excised from the film, and it would not change. And it's like an hour. And it's not just like we hang out with Halle Berry and recreate scenes from My Dinner with Andre. Like, shit happens. Just not shit that I care about. And shit that's worse. We do a lot of terrible and stupid, like, things that are bad for you and will make your life much worse, and also ethically are horrific and pointless, all for what I'm going to say are joking references to earlier points in the film series. I'm doing it. So I told you, the first one about they kill his dog and he murders everybody. In this one, in a very, very difficult situation, in a place that, like, everybody's more powerful than them and they have to watch what they say very carefully or they're totally going to get murdered, a dude, due to really horrible things, tries to shoot one of the two dogs Halle Berry has. And shoots it. And she's like, oh my god. And she goes down to the... thing is, the dogs are wearing bulletproof dog vests. And she literally finds the bullet. Hits the dog's not dead. And she looks at Keanu Reeves, the guy who murdered every cuz of dogs. And he just mouths no and shakes his head. And then she starts murdering everybody. And then they have this huge fight scene where they totally almost might die and they kill like 40 people, some of whom are incredibly high up in this particular organization because the dude was mean to her. I mean, did a bad thing, but like the dog's not even dead. And it's clearly just a reference to, you know, dog, the first one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's, oh, fuck you, movie. Like, there's a lot more use of CGI. That is not good. There is a lot of inconsistency of environment during some of the fight scenes. Some of the fight scenes are very impressive. They're having a more Jackie Chan-esque quality as they go on, which is good and bad, mostly bad. I will say this. There's a major role played by Mark Dacascos, and I'm happy to see him getting real mainstream work. It's a big part. And it's a real movie. He's not pretending to be the nephew of the chairman from Iron Chef on basic cable. Like, I'm happy. He gets to use his martial arts. So I'm happy for that. He got lines. Like, I like to see him getting work. He's a good guy. He's a good actor. He's a good martial artist. Okay, he's a decent actor. He's a good martial artist. So that was nice. His character was written very poorly. He did his best with it. Ian McShane owned. Ian McShane always owns.
Yep, he usually does.
I want to dislike him more, but he's never performed that is not spectacular.
But so, he pretty much, I mean, it's not like he plays a different character each time or anything.
No, that is true.
But it's effective. Everything, it's kind of
although
like,
there is a nuance to it. It's a little Alan Alda-esque. His characters are different, yet they're always Ian McShane, kind of.
I felt like Alan Rickman was a little that way, too. That.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like you said, they were different. You know, like, he didn't
know, I used to think Patrick Stewart was that way. I do
he, did, he didn't play any character like Snape, for example, and yet he also did play.
Yeah. That's Alan Alda is who I always go to for that, because over the years I found out Alan Alda has incredible range, but it's always the same guy. You just believe that guy is the nice, caring old man, or that guy is the megalomaniac who will murder you as soon as look at you, or that guy is the goofy war. So like they're all vastly different characters, but like it's still him. Mm-hmm. It's very weird, and I mean it as a compliment, but it's bizarre.
Well, some actors can do that. I don't not I mean other
most
actors...
of them are either playing the exact same character in every film, or they disappear into the role, and those are usually the two options. There's the very rare Alan Alda breed that's like doing both. Which I guess the other two tend to be what we say when we say leading man, leading lady versus character actor.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, so that's all I got. Draw a thing.
Craig wants to know.
What does Craig want to know?
Are Nickelback really that bad?
I mean, they owe me money.
Do they?
So, no, they do not.
They owe you a whole Nickelback?
Ah, right? No. I mean, on a certain level, Craig, the answer to this question is listen to their songs. What do you think? What are your feelings on Nickelback?
I'm not sure I could name a Nickelback song. Mm. If you named one to me, I might recognize it. But
I know a lot of them. I don't know the names.
People joke about the band a lot as being a popular band that's somehow it's popular, but also nobody really likes them or something.
Yeah. I was big into the Silver Side album when it came out. After that, I was big into a couple of singles they did. And then eventually, I couldn't stand them anymore. I've heard this analysis before, and I feel like it's accurate. They are too... They adhere too strongly to the form. So it comes off as... I mean... Really, they're sort of exemplar in a way, but it comes off as generic. Mm. I think they are archetypical, and to some people that comes off as stereotypical. Like, they are such a late 90s, early 2000s
almost
prog rock band.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure that's fair exactly, but it's just so, like, they have no shtick. They're just... every brand of that genre you've heard of mushed together, and that's bad. But that's also what people like about the genre, so that's good. So then what ends up happening is critically people don't like them because they think it's boring, it's generic. But financially, they're one of the best-selling bands in the world.
like most things people consider low art, it's like, okay, it's not good, but it's what everybody has hanging in their living room.
Or McDonald's.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's like, oh, McDonald's sucks. Oh, my God, I can't believe you eat at McDonald's. Everyone eats at McDonald's. And everyone, likes it. Like, I mean, we can also, like, I can say, like, McDonald's, oh, what the fuck? McDonald's is fucked up. Like, it's barely food. And I'm not wrong. I also love McDonald's. And, like, I don't get it all the time. But when I want it, I'm like, I want McDonald's. It's good. And I eat it. And I don't feel like a sellout or a hypocrite while I'm eating it. I'm not like, oh, my God, what are you doing? I'm like, no, this is good. Now, I mean, admittedly, a couple hours later, I may be like, why did you do that? But that's more of a digestive issue. And that's the thing, is it's just – and people love McDonald's because people like fast food, and McDonald's is the archetype of fast food.
Well, it's like you were saying before, it definitely scratches that itch if that's what you want.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Nickelback tunes are catchy, good to dance to, fun as background music. They have that pumping rhythm and chords that are good for workout music. I mean, they are not that different from Bush, from Fall Out Boy, from later Blink 182. They're not, like I said, they just sort of don't have a shtick. They're just, they seem generic, and what they are is they're just the median, and people like that. There's less controversy about them. They're incredibly uncontroversial, and some people hate that about them, which makes them very controversial. And so yeah, they simultaneously are like the most hated band in the world and the most popular band in the world.
What's a song from them I might recognize?
I don't know. The only one I can remember, the last one I got into, was a single called Save Me that was, I think, a song in the original run of the show Heroes. I think that's where I heard it, and I decided I liked it. I don't know. Like I said, Silver Side Up was the name of, like, kind of their big album. Like, when they had gotten big enough, but people weren't ragging on them yet, which happened to be the time I got into them because, yeah, I was with everybody else. I was like, hey, they're cool. What was their first big single? I can't remember now. It's been too long. I mean, it's far enough back that I had a CD of it, so it's been a while. In fact, it's probably over there somewhere. So, yeah, that's Nickelback. Their lead singer is a guy named Chad Kroeger, and he has a very distinctive, scratchy voice, except that he has the same voice that the dude from Creed has, which is the same voice that Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam has. Like,
sort of
it's distinctive,
sound. But
they all sound like they're copying each other.
Yeah.
But, like, it's, to me at least, I can hear and I can be like, that's Chad Kroeger. I want to say Scott Stapp is the lead singer of Creed. I don't know. But, like, in my head, I can hear the difference, but it's that sound. He was married to Avril Lavigne for a while. I mean, I tend to find their stuff annoying now. I very much did not used to. And I know that it is a wholly subjective thing on my part.
Sure.
So, I don't like... And I would love to say it is purely because, like, my tastes have changed or whatever. And consciously, that is true. Is it possible that part of it is, you know, socialized peer pressure? Possibly. There's a lot of shit that I used to like and then later I didn't like. And coincidentally, society took that turn at the same time. And it may be, yes, I am a discrete unit of society, so it makes sense. Or it may be, well, society was doing it, and so I kind of decided I should go along on an unconscious level.
Sure.
I could be a poser. I don't know. I think I've been called one. But, yeah, I can't think of any Nickelback songs off the top of my head.
Yeah, I mostly know them by the reputation.
Yeah. And it's another one of those, they are a much bigger deal outside of the U.S.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're very popular in other countries. Which I've never been entirely sure how that worked. But, I mean, pop music in the U.S. and out of the U.S. is different. And, like, frequently you know the songs that are popular in other countries, but, like, they weren't popular here. Or, like, the songs that were really popular here weren't there. And then weird shit, like, Cher comes out with that song, Believe. And it's fall of 98. I'm in London.
Okay.
It's huge. It's record-breaking huge. The pop charts at the time, it was number one for most of the 3 months I was there. Like 11 weeks or something.
Okay.
Crazy. We're obsessed with it. We love it. We're all over this stuff. We come back. We're having everybody listen to this. And they're all like, yeah, I think I heard it one time. I'm not that into it. We're like, what the hell? 6 months later, it's everywhere. It's huge. These same damn people are coming to us and say, have you heard this? And I'm like, fuck you. For real? Come on. And yeah, and suddenly it was all over the charts in the U.S. And it wasn't that it hadn't been released yet, but that was when it... Because it's not always the case. Sometimes songs become hits long after they're released.
Yeah, later, yeah.
And that was very weird. For some reason, this reminded me. Last night, watched a comedy special by Hasan Minhaj, the Daily Show correspondent who now has his own show on Netflix.
Okay.
Called Homecoming King. Highly recommend it for people. Sirius XM Radio has recently created a new comedy channel, Channel 93, if you have Sirius XM, that's just comedy bits from Netflix specials. And so it tends to be pretty good stuff, but also I've discovered sometimes I'll hear a few different bits from supposedly the same special, and I'm like, I should go watch the special. And this is what happened with Hasan Minhaj. And also a lot of it was making references. Like I could, I was like, this is funny. I feel like if I had heard the stuff before this part, it would be better. And I was right. It's almost more of a one-man show than a comedy special, in my opinion. It reminds me a lot of, like, John Leguizamo did those one-man shows that I really like. And it's very much about, like, Hasan's upbringing and stuff like that. It's very... The whole thing is pretty much about race. It's very funny. It is also very good and interesting just as a thing. So I highly recommend it. It's called Homecoming King. On Netflix. Yeah, just if you put in Hasan Minhaj, it comes up. So check that out. And yeah, that's about it. So we should do it. So this is episode one. It's been wonderful. We love you all. So here's what's going to happen. In a week's time, you're going to hear something we haven't recorded. You're going to hear something that we record in a week's time.
Right, like usual.
Yes. A week after that, you're going to hear something that we will have recorded just 10 minutes from now. So, does that blow your mind? It shouldn't. It's really not complicated, but I don't know. I hope it will. In the meantime, please write in to the Magical Talking Hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with stuff, and then it'll show up on here eventually, probably. Maybe, if we like you. We'll find out.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.